Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
So, in a recap of quick things, I heard that we learned about Lent last week from our own Rick Hester. Thank you for teaching, Rick. That was an enthusiastic response you got. Rick taught you about some holy things last week. I appreciate you stepping in for me and just talking about things that are in your heart, things that are holy. Before that, we're talking about things that are reverent and how to treat the things of God like they matter, like they're holy, like they actually are holy. Because if you don't have any reverence for the things of God, your life is going to be cyclical, and you're never going to be able to break bondages or have like a forward trajectory for your life. Because God is the author of life. God is in charge of everything that we do. He's in charge of our bodies. He knows when we're going to get up. He knows when we go to sleep. He knows the sicknesses and the diseases and the things that plague us, the things that we don't ever even talk about. He knows about it. He sees us. He knows about our thoughts. He knows about our words. And he is recklessly in love with us in spite of all that. That's a mind-blowing thing that I just said right there. That God is so in love with us. He made us in his image. He knows that we're flawed. He knows that we're not perfect. But he loves us without any conditions. He accepts us right where we are. But he also gives us a lot of promises that are loaded with conditions. Have you ever heard me say that before?
Yes.
I've said it many, 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 many times. The love of God doesn't have any conditions attached to it. The promises of God are full of conditions. So you can get a lot more than a ticket to heaven. There's a whole lot of things that will come on your life, like safety and a sound mind and protection and prosperity and health. When you surrender and submit yourself to God in an obedient way, constantly, he will come in a powerful way. I know this is true. And then I also know there are seasons that even when I'm surrendered to God and I'm being as obedient as I know how to be, and I'm following God with my whole heart, still I look around and there's a big mess in every direction, and I don't know how to clean it up, and I don't know what to do. And I have to come back to God. Does anybody relate to this?
Right,
man. Yeah, I got the right room. See, because I know that if I'm dodging arrows and I'm dodging bullets, they might hit you. Because I'm a shield for you. Did you know that? As your pastor and your leader, I care about you. I'll be like a shield for you, and I'll take the first hits, and I'll take as many as I can. But I know when the attack gets real, everybody's got to get in here with their shield and put it up.
Right.
Or we go down. Because I can't get all of them. We need each other. Okay? Nobody's supposed to do it by themselves. And that's just because I rose my hand to say, I'll leave God, pick me. Okay? Well, then I have a strong husband, I have a strong family, and I have some strong friends. And we all put our shields up to quench the fiery darts of the enemy, and sometimes they get passed. So today's message is just like life 101. Okay? Life is, it's ups and downs. It has ebbs, it has flows. It comes in and out. I mean, however you want to say it, there are good times and bad times. The Bible says it like this. It rains on everybody.
Right.
Whether you're good or bad. Whether you're just or unjust. And if you remember, we've talked just this past few months about being justified and sanctified, and what that means, how justification is your position, and sanctification is the process by which you discover your position. And there's so many other words that ended with T-I-O-N that we've been talking about, but we're not going to review all that today. Just wanted you to have those couple in your pocket while we're talking. You're justified because of what Jesus did on the cross. And you're sanctified. You have a promise and a calling that's just for you. And he's taking you through it, and we're on a path. And on the path, there are places that trip us up. And there are places that try to trip us up. And sometimes we're fortunate enough to step over the stone, and sometimes we grab it with our foot and we face plant. Okay? It's just life. It's for everybody. Even people that look like they've got it all together and everything is looking right. That's why Facebook and social media are just like a farce, because everybody has rain on them. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody poops. I mean, I don't know how to get it any clearer that we cannot understand. There's no one better than anyone else. There's only one perfect person, and it's Jesus. Okay? That's it. So when life gets messy, we got to figure out what's going on. Is it just a natural transition, or is the enemy lurking? Okay. And so God gives us a discernment. Everybody say discernment.
Discernment.
That means I'm able to tell the difference of what's going on in my life. And if I can't tell the difference, when I went to Bible school, we had a professor, who was actually the dean of students, said, when in doubt, cast it out. Okay? When in doubt, don't let it linger. It makes no sense. When in doubt, just go ahead and cast it out. Not hurting anything if you put the devil in his place. When I say that, I'm not the type of person that looks for the devil behind every door, because sometimes you're the devil behind the door making a bad choice. Okay? Me too. I'm pointing you, got 4 pointing back at me. Okay, I understand, and I live in the same world that you do. So life can offer storms, it can offer sunshine, and it does. And so if you're in a place where the world is all sunny and great for you, and you're just full flowing in your wisdom, I mean, your family's intact, your job's secure, and everything's great, you know what? God puts you in here today to pray for those of us who are feeling the struggle and feeling the battle. Because I'm feeling a struggle. And I'm feeling a battle. And it's not just me. Yesterday I was at an event where there were 6, 7, 8 churches represented there with about 35 pastors and leaders and some of our friends. And it was just, everybody feels it. Everybody's talking about the same struggle and the same tension. Do you know what that tells me? God is up to something.
Yep.
He never wastes hurt. Never. You know, it's the time of just coming and going whenever you feel like it, that's past. The time for getting in, sticking in, digging your heels in, into your faith. I don't mean this room. I do mean this room too. But I mean into God and into your faith and just planting yourself firm. That no matter what comes, whatever wind blows, you're sticking with whatever he says.
Right.
You have the ability in you to do that. You do. You're stronger than you think you are. So, let's see what I got here for us. Thank you, Lord. And the Bible says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging for bread, and I never will. And I've endured hardships, and you have too, and we're still here. And that's our testimony. Mm-hmm. I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'm hard to kill. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right?
Right.
Changing my mantra to say different things like, the skies are changing. The clouds are clearing. The Lord is on the rise. I can see my salvation. I look to the hills where my salvation comes from him. He's my help. Listen to this from Psalm 37. It says, though a righteous man falls, he will not be overwhelmed, for the Lord is holding his hand. The Lord is holding his hand. Once I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous abandoned or their children begging for bread. They're ever generous and quick to lend, and their children are a blessing. Ava, you're a blessing. Jesse, you're a blessing. Where's Violet? Violet, you're a blessing. These are my children. Stacy, you're a blessing. Chrissy, you're a blessing. What if we spoke like that to our family? What if we began to take on the obstacles that are around us and we begin to bring it down with our words like our creative Father does too?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Romans 12:1. How do I do that? Well, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. Give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. Give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. A holy, living sacrifice. You don't even have to die. You don't even have to bleed. You just have to live in him. Giving yourself to him all the time. Listen to this one from Isaiah. I'm just going to wash this with scripture, and then I'm going to talk about how to discern, you know, which is coming at you. Isaiah 61, New King James Version. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called what? Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You know, there's something about this verse right here, because God intends for our lives to be like a tree that's planted by a living water, where the stream never dries up and it has fruit in its season. And so if you think of yourself like a tree that is a fruit-bearing tree, and anyone who comes near it can get shelter and shade from it and fruit and eat from it. That's pretty profound, really, if you think about it. That's how God intends for us to live our lives and to give ourselves, as a tree of righteousness watered by the Lord. But what happens whenever you feel withering and you feel it? And it's like, Lord, I know your word is true. You have to look past what the circumstances are doing and all the mess that's going on all around you, all the all the swirling and whirling and all the circumstances, and you got to look to what the word says, declare the word out of your mouth, and be steadfast. I am with you, God. I'm with you. I am a tree of righteousness. So I can stand up here and still give something this morning with everything that's held up in my life. It's not me. It's the Lord. The Bible tells us to be still and know that God is in control when circumstances feel like they're spiraling out of control. Who's in control? Are there any control freaks in here? A couple of us. Listen, me too. I like things to be a certain way. I like things to be done a certain way. I like to be in charge. Like that little sign out there that says food distribution, it's all bent in, it looks terrible. Every time I see it, I'm like, holy ghost, help me. You know, how can we get that thing straight? I mean, it's for people that are under-resourced. We'd like to have them come into a thing that looks like we have a resource. So can we help get the sign straight? On the other hand, the banner looks fantastic.
Okay?
The banner looks amazing.
Beautiful.
10-year banner up front. Control freak. It's a thing you got to learn. Let it go. Let it go. It's going to be fine. Right? The Lord is in control. Listen to this. God, the refuge of his people, the one who's holding my hand, grab everything along the way and then collect these things as we're talking about it, that God can sustain us, that he can fill our cup, right? The Lord who holds my hand is a God of refuge to his people and a conqueror of nations. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. Now, look, the earth is not removed, guys. We're standing on it. Even if the earth shakes and falls down and falls away, we're still not going to be afraid, because our hope is not in this earth. It's in our eternal life on the other side with him. Did you buy into that all the way when you became a Christian, or did you just take the Christian name only? No, you said, I'm yours. I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. I'll look for future and hope in heaven. Even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though mountains shake with its swelling. And it says, Selah, think about that and compare what you're going through and your circumstances to that. So you don't have, you know, if you have a job crisis or you don't know what the next sale's going to be, you know, some of us are in sales in here. If we don't work, we're not getting paid. I believe the Lord will give us so many clients and so many opportunities, we will know that it was him.
Yeah.
But he won't do that until we recognize him in it. And we call on his name, and we understand, if you don't move, I'm in trouble. Thank God you move.
Yeah,
right. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her at the break of dawn. And I liked it because it said her, usually says him. I took it real personal. Thank you, Lord. It just goes on and on. The Bible's going to teach us that it's not by might, it's not by power, but by his spirit. So it doesn't matter how loud I get or what a fuss I make or how many scriptures I quote, it's still the Lord of hosts who's going to bring salvation. You tracking with me?
Yes.
And he won't relent until the work is done. Because no one ever came to me and told me about their easy, sweet, perfect life and how it made one little blip of difference in their spiritual integrity, authority, prowess, whatever. Didn't build their character. You know what it did? Hard things.
Yes.
Hard things build us. And I'll tell you this too, you'll know where you're at in the Lord by how you respond in a hard thing. Because your character isn't forged there, it's revealed there so that you can see it. And so that God can go, wow, I love you. I see that. I love you. Come closer. Let's come together. Romans 12, your love must be sincere. Detest what is evil. Cling to what is good. It's just, you know, I'm just making it real easy. God is good. The devil's bad. Cling to what is good. Detest what is evil. Be excellent at what is good and be innocent of evil. And then you know what will happen? The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your own feet. I like that. The book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. It's all vanity, everything. Doesn't matter what I do. Same things are going to happen anyway. The sun's going to rise. It's going to fall. I sound like you, Rick. Rick, were you up here? Did you put some kind of bad juice on this? I'm just kidding. Can't get to the place where we think it doesn't matter what I do, we'll have a defeated mentality. The Bible says to not grow weary in your well-doing. You need perseverance. So I'm going to give you some. Do you ever pray for patience? That is the dumbest prayer you can ever pray. You start praying for patience, and you're going to start getting a lineup of things that will cause you to exercise patience.
Right.
You're going to say words that you shouldn't speak around children or women. I'm just saying. Some of you women. Oh, Jesus. Here's the thing. Whatever's coming, the Lord is in charge. Whatever hardship is befalling us, God is doing a work. He's preparing us for something. You know, Jesus is coming again. I don't know if you ever look at the news, if you're ever aware of what's happening. The world is at war. Mm-hmm. You know, things are raging. And signs of the times are flying out everywhere. Things we've never even heard of before. And this isn't that message. The message is that no matter what's going on, our hope is in Him.
Yeah.
And He's strong. And when it starts to look out of control around you, just brace yourself for something powerful and good. Something wonderful is about to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. The Lord is not a withholder, and He's not a disappointer. But what He wants us to be aware of, I'm going to talk about these things right here. When you have difficulties that keep mounting and they don't cease, you don't have to be like a genius or a rocket scientist. You don't even have to be in one of the five offices of ministry to see that the enemy is trying to destroy what you're trying to do.
Yep.
Trying to destroy what you're trying to build. And so remember a few months back, or I don't know, it might have even been weeks, I started speaking back Kingdom of Darkness. Remember that phrase?
Yeah.
That'd be a great t-shirt. Back, Kingdom of Darkness. There was one a couple years ago. Not today, Satan. Well, not any day, as a matter of fact.
Right.
No, Kingdom of Darkness. The Son of Light is coming. So I'm just going to talk about, now when I start talking about this stuff, I know we get uneasy, so I'm just going to say I forbid any evil work to happen in this room in the name of Jesus. And for any weird manifestation to take place in Jesus' name. But what I will speak is a freedom for bondages to break off people's lives when we start talking about these things. Because, you know, the world is crazy enough. And I believe the enemy is in charge of so many avenues that we just focus on and let our eyes absorb. And God is trying to call for us. He's always trying to reach past what the enemy is throwing out to draw us to Himself and to speak life and to give us insight into what's actually going on. If you ever ask the Lord what's going on in the world, He'll tell you. If you ever ask Him, what is your plan, God? Why am I in this place at this time? He'll show you. If you get quiet enough, man, even if you go to the bathroom by yourself, I know moms don't even get that privilege. You're in the bathroom by yourself, close the door and ask the Lord, just me and you here, nobody, just a small room, what do you want for me? And start seeking Him while He may be found, that He can tell you the mysteries of what's going on in the world and when He's coming and what your part is until He gets here. And it's very hard to do that when you have a stronghold or an enemy lurking around. So we learned yesterday at the seminar, there's certain words that if you use, people just shut down. They won't listen. But there's certain words you can use that will help us to open our hearts. Okay? So I'm not going to talk about Christians being possessed by the devil or oppressed by the devil or whatever you believe about all that. That's not what this is about. This is about any enemy influence that's coming and hanging around your life. And you saying, hit the road, Jack, you can't be here. You can't sit with us. Okay? You guys would not let a big, filthy, dirty sow come and roll around on the floor in your house or get on your sofa where your family sits. You would never do that. But spiritually, we're doing it. And so what happens is we become defiled. And the Lord wants to come in and wash some of that from us. So some of you, this is going to hit in that arena. Some of you, you're Christians. You know, you're walking around doing your best. You're living your best life. Do you think the enemy's just going to stand around and let you do that?
Right.
Just let you keep going on your happy way and speaking life and joy and giving to the church and being part of a, you know, a church that gives away food to people that isn't on the parking lot in front of a community that's working with other churches and encourage.
No.
The devil hates us. But Jesus loves us.
Amen.
And so we will tap into the Son of Love, right? So take a couple notes. If any of these things speak to you, we're going to pray for each other at the end today. We're not going to do that on camera either. But you can start putting that list up if you want to, Tammy. How can I tell if it's the devil lurking, a demonic influence, or if it's just the natural order of things? If God is ordering something, we can't move it. But if the enemy is lurking, we can move that. Because we have the authority by the word of God, by the name of Jesus. Do you understand that, church? What's your job?
Reconciliation.
Yeah, let's reconcile ourselves to the Lord, okay? Number one, if you're normally just like even-tempered, pretty even-keeled, you know, you're walking around in your best life and you like people, you enjoy conversation, and you find yourself like you snap and you suddenly just become, you know, crabby or confrontational or loud or something, like just suddenly, all of a sudden, and you're like, then you come back to yourself, whoa, what was that? This is a sign. Do you have scriptures for all this? No, I just have experience. And I'm going to speak to you about what it looks like when the devil's lurking around. Because that is not your intention. If you're acting in a way that you don't intend to act on, but it keeps happening, just take a note, okay? Write them down. Secondly, if you have a sudden mood change, it's kind of like the same thing. What was the first one? Okay, this one's about anger. I switched them around. If you have anger all the time, just like you blow up and you just get mad and you don't know why, it's like an uncontrollable rage. And you're so angry in there and you don't know why. It's like, why is this making me so mad? My water spilled, my latte dumped over in the car. And you just like fly out of your mind. So there's something connected to that, because that is not how you want to be, is it? Now, if you've got two so far, I just want you to keep track of what's going on in your life, okay? Number three, if you find yourself intentionally sabotaging relationships or opportunities. You have an opportunity to do this, but you didn't. You had an opportunity to make a relationship there, but you didn't. You had an opportunity for this, and you sabotaged it. You didn't do it, okay? That's self-explanatory. Number four, if you just lie, if lying becomes a regular thing out of your mouth, you know, there's no reason to lie, you're not in trouble, but it just became natural to you to tell a lie. Now, somebody has this, I'm telling you, because I remember when I had this. And it goes like this. So I had this friend, I don't know, probably saved for a year. I was going to Life Christian Center, and so much spiritual power and deliverance and things were manifest there all the time, and a lot of crazy was there too. But it was like, I remember just, I had this friend, her name was Joni, and she came over to my house, and I had planted this front garden. This is so ridiculous, but this is how it works. So, got this whole front garden planted, and she goes, man, your garden looks so great. And I go, oh, you should see the side garden. There's no side garden. Okay, I'm just telling you that because it's ridiculous, but we do it. And so, and then in my heart, I could feel that, oh, that's not pleasing to God, right? Why did you do that? She already liked your garden. It looks so stupid. But it's a stronghold that comes, and it becomes familiar to you. And so you just readily will offer a lie instead of the truth. Well, I called her later on. You're going to think I'm so stupid. I can't even believe I did this. And I tell her, we just died laughing on the phone. She's like, nobody would call and tell you that. Why did you do it? I have to. I cannot be unclean. I can't have it on me. I can't. And I'm going to keep doing it. And then I started doing it every time I would tell a lie because it was on me. I was like, I'm sorry, I just lied. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to lie. I'm a liar. And I'm trying not to be a liar. And I just lied. I'm sorry. And people would be like, he's crazy. I'm like, I don't care if you think I'm crazy. I'm getting close to him. Whatever I got to do to this flesh to make it stop, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. Addiction. Addictions will come creeping up again. You know, like porn or drugs or scrolling or drinking or binging or shoplifting or whatever your thing is that you do and you don't want to do it. And you're like pollen. It's the thing I don't want to do, I do. And the thing I want to do, I don't do. And it could have an attachment. If you have an addiction that won't break, there's an attachment that we can break. Okay? Ooh, it's quiet in here. Okay. If you have intrusive thoughts, like you're just sitting there and all of a sudden you start thinking about savagely murdering someone. Okay? You're just sitting there and all of a sudden you're having a sexual fantasy about someone that intruded into your brain. You're just sitting there going on your normal life and you start thinking some wild, crazy, demonic scene in your mind. They're intrusive thoughts that come from hell. They have no place and no authority to be on you. Look, I'm just describing how people live their lives every day. Way down here without God. You can live way up here, with me, without me, with me. God wants to do it. He wants to fill your cup. He wants to take all that nasty out of there and give you living water that tastes so good and it's so clean and it's so fresh. And he wants to do it all across the board. Number seven, you have a sin pattern. So you do a thing and then you come with true repentance back to God. God, please forgive me. That's not what I want. That's not my heart. And then you have a moment of repentance and you're clean, and then you go back to it again. The sin pattern. Sin pattern has demonic attachment. No question. Right. If you have panic, anxiety, and fear, you can't explain it. You're just sitting there, and all of a sudden, panic and fear and anxiety attacks. They just come out of nowhere. And even when we start to talk about it, it might start to happen while you're sitting there. That's a pretty good sign that you have a demonic attachment, influence. But don't worry, because we're going to kick them out just a little bit. Number 9. If you're trying to sleep, the Bible says that the sleep of the righteous is a blessed thing. If you cannot sleep, if you have night terrors, if you have paralysis in the night, anything that goes on that's fear-driven or ridden, if you have bizarre dreams that are like those intrusive thoughts, you don't want them. They keep jumping into your brain like that, jumping in on you while you're trying to sleep. See, the enemy will come for you while you're trying to sleep because you're defenseless. You didn't have a shield up. You're asleep. You're unconscious. And he's a trickster, man, and he's a liar and an author of lies, and he will come and try to throw stuff in there while you're asleep. And he can't do that unless you made the jar ajar at the door, unless you left the door ajar. You left the door open for him to be able to get in there. Because when you leave the door open a little bit, he'll be like, oh yeah, I'm coming right in. So we got to ask the Lord with discernment, where did I leave the door open that I might close it on the devil? Because the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Number 10, lastly. Is this striking anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. This one's kind of common. I hear this a lot, and I've heard it from some of you. When heaven feels like it's blocked, like you want to pursue God, and you want to read the Bible, and you have every intention of studying something and having a devotion. You meant to chime in on the group devotion. You meant to catch up on the reading. You meant to be at men's group. You meant to, but you just can't, no matter what you do. It's like something comes up and there's something that blocks you from getting before God. Heaven is blocked. When that happens, there's something probably between you and him. And there has to be a moment where we get clean. Zechariah says, this is the word of the Lord. It's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So the Holy Spirit can come right where we're sitting right now with everything I just told you. You don't even have to raise your hand. I don't need to be reassured. I already know. I know the Lord wants to come, and he wants to bring freedom to us right now. I can't do that for you, but he can. And so what happens is you look at that list. If anything's stuck on you, if anything is stuck on you right now, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for everybody, and we're going to break into circles, and we're going to pray a little bit more. And I'm going to roam around the room and see where I need to be, okay? Because here's what I believe. I believe that there's a transforming power that comes from these kind of prayers. And I'm fed up, sick and tired of being sick and tired of dealing with things that might be the enemy intruding on my life. Does that make sense, everyone?
Yes.
It means yes. So we're going to pray something like this. Father God, in the name of Jesus, would you come and separate wheat and tares in our own lives spiritually?
Yes.
Would you separate what is you and what is clearly the enemy trying to take me out? Father, let me have eyes to see what is going on in the spirit. And would you come with your presence now, God? And would you bring freedom? I know you've given us the word of the Lord, and you've given us keys to the kingdom. They come from things like repentance and forgiveness and the choices that we make, God. God, would you steady our souls right now as we receive, we brace ourselves for what you want to do to remove any defiling thing from us in the name of Jesus, that we wouldn't go back to that pile of vomit one more time, God. That we would live in a place of freedom from addiction, that we would stop lying, Father. Take the coals and cleanse my lips, Lord. I'm a woman of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Thank you for the angel and the tongues and the fire that clean it. Father, we invite you to come. Father, any contrite and broken place in me. Would you come and heal it? I know you don't destroy a reed that's already bruised. You lift it up, God, and you bring healing. Would you come with your power that restores right now and speak to these areas? And God, I pray for those that are just heavy with grief. Father, I pray just for your spirit to come. You're the only one who can comfort. It is a time. There's a time to grieve and a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. There's a time to celebrate. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, God. And you know all of those times. But here we are, right here, 2026, looking for deliverance, looking for a miracle. We don't want any attachment of the enemy on us. If our behavior opens the door to the enemy, God, would you show us? Would you show us the path to be on that leads us to you? So every foul spirit, every demonic stronghold that would be anywhere near these people, in the name of Jesus, as their shepherd and by the authority of the King Jesus, come down, even now. Fear, come down in Jesus' name. That lying tongue, come down in Jesus' name. Father, any foul thing that comes in intrusive thoughts, we block it in the name of Jesus. We bind it by your spirit. And we lose healing and purity and clarity of mind in the name of Jesus. We're the sons and daughters of God. Father, we ask you to set around about us a hedge of protection. Go before us and go behind and underneath, God. And seal us in and hedge us in that we might look to you and only you. That you might be our one thing for real life, God. But we really don't want anything else. We just want you. God, would you pour your spirit out now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.